Blog Talk Radio. Welcome, welcome, bienvenido to Beata's Tiny House Village. It is raining this morning. Yay! So my door is open so I can get some negative ions flowing in the place. Yes, I'm in my living room in my tiny house village, and it's just been a beautiful, beautiful week. I'm so grateful to be here, but let's get busy because we got a lot to talk about. My guest today is Dr. Constance Chabal. She is going to educate us and inform us and inspire us. This woman is just so amazing. She was on my show about a year ago. So we'll welcome her in just a little bit. But I know why you're here, to do some joint rolling, get it high. We're going to get high, get high, get high, rolling joints, get high. Oh, not that kind of joint. These kind of joints. Why? Because we're taking charge in 2024 of our health. Why? Because the sick care system, let's just call it what it is, it's so broken. We must take charge of this temple that the Creator gave us. So we're going to do some joint rolling, or we're going to roll our head around and get this neck joint lubricated, our shoulder joints, our wrist, elbow joints, our knee joints, our ankle joints, and our hip joints. Yes, all of that in just a matter of 3 or 4 minutes. I want to be sure let you know that why we do, let's see, why we do what we do, three major reasons. It improves our lymphatic system, draining all the toxins, draining all the dead parasites. If you're killing parasites, your lymphatic system helps get them out the body. You don't want those dead things floating around. And it improves our circulation, the blood flow, the river flow. Let's get all that flowing, 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 flowing. And then, of course, our immune system. These days, all three of those working together, you won't get sick. You won't get sick if you are seriously, gently boosting your lymphatics, your circulation, and your immune system. So that's why I'm here every Friday morning to just guide you along and help you in this process. And we got some great music. But before we do all that, we want to welcome our global family because we are live in the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio studio. So let's welcome our global family with an awesome video.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone. Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around. around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Assalamualaikum. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Pimeo. In South Africa, Saobona. In Senegal, Nangade. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, Palestine, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. And may peace be upon you all. Join us live on the On Air Radio Network. Call 727-731-5192. We want to talk to you.
And yes, we want to talk to you, but even more important, we want you to talk to us. And that's why I'm on YouTube, The Otis Tiny House Village. I'm on Facebook Live, /Viahta, V-I-Y-A-H-T-A. And we're right here in the Blog Talk Radio studio, The Female Solution. So we want to hear from you, because today especially, we've got Dr. Shabazz in the house, and she's been doing her medical work for years and years, and she's running a holistic clinic in Chicago. That's got to be a rarity there. So you don't want to miss this show. Invite your friends. But right now, let's get busy with the sounds of blackness. That's the music we play here to roll around our joints and get healthy and flexible. So let's get busy with the sounds of blackness, starting with some deep breaths. Let's take some deep breaths first. In through the nose, inhale, inhale, and exhale, inhale, inhale, through the nose, exhale through the nose, inhale one more time, inhale, inhale, and exhale. Now we want you to keep up the breathing as we move, because your breathing is like a pump. It helps the heart move. It helps everything flow better when you're inhaling and exhaling. So if you're new here, we start with the head rolling around to get our neck lubricated, then our shoulders, and then we do some swimming in the sea of energy. And then we are going to get on our backs and roll around our ankles, knees, and hips. All right, so let's get busy with Time for Healing. Jesus. Get both of those hips lubricated. Keep rolling. Breathe, and don't forget to breathe in. Breathe in and out. Rolling that leg around. Take your time. Just take your time. We're not in a hurry this morning. Everything is in divine order. And let's reverse that. Breathing in and out. Enjoying this beautiful new day. It's a new day, March 22nd. So we've got Let's see, the numbers are 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, plus 8, 15. We're in a 6. We're rolling around in a 6. Now, if you have trouble rolling that leg around, just lay on your back. And I hope you do this every morning in bed. Lay on your back and just lift that leg as high as you can, one at a time. And you're going to get the same energy moving around in this hip area. This is your second chakra here. And we have a lot of people with prostate problems, reproductive issues. And this, when you do this exercise, you can help to reduce diseases in this area. Now, I'm not a doctor, and I don't have an MD behind my name, but I've had over 35 years of experience in doing this type of work and in educating and energizing and motivating people. Now, we are done with this part, so let's bring our knees to our chest and roll back, rock back and side to side, and get the spinal cord lubricated. Ooh, yes. That lower back needs some massaging every now and then. That's where your kidneys and your adrenal glands are. And just doing this action, and then let's just rub the bottom of our feet and our hands together, activating our meridian points in our body, the points in our hands and our feet go all through the body. So when you do this warming up the body, you're sending lots of love to your body. All right, let's rock to one side and push up and give yourselves a hand if you've completed everything. And we want to finish off. We want to finish off with warming up the hands and placing them on the back of the neck to give a vagus nerve stimulation. You should feel that all the way to your toes if you're pressing and releasing, squeezing and releasing, squeezing and releasing. And let's just go down to the shoulder. Squeeze, release, squeeze, breathing in. Ah. Giving your body a renewed sense of love, 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 and attention. Breathing in, let's pat down the arms and give love pats, stimulating. Now, you need a pit here, not a poof, to get your lymphatic system moving well. So make sure you got a pit, not a poof. If you got a poof, it needs a little massaging maybe and work on that. Use some castor oil. Castor oil is so good for everything. I even read an article about castor oil being good for wrinkles. So I massage my skin every night and in the morning with castor. I use castor oil. I use frankincense, geranium, lavender. I use several oils to keep my skin wrinkle-free. So let's tap here. This is your thymus gland. Big immune system booster. Make sure you give your boobies some massage work. Push gentle work on hand touching the breast area. And then go down to your navel area and tap around that navel. That's your microbiome community. It's big there. That's your army. Your microbiome is your army. It will fight for you if you have enough army military people in there, or let's say microbes in there. Now, let's go to the back area. This is where your kidneys and your adrenal glands are. So give them some love, a love pat. Love you, kidneys. Send love to the kidneys. Love to the kidneys. Love to the kidneys. Love to the kidneys. And breathe in and out. Adrenal glands, we love you. Thank you for all the work you do. All right. We're ready now to go into the studio and prepare for a show with Dr. Shabazz. And I think she's coming in this hour. So thank you all for being here this morning. We are prioritizing health care and social service needs of communities with Dr. Constance Shabazz. Now, while we're waiting for Dr. Shabazz, I'm going to play a reminder for us here. Reminder for us about the systems in our body that work together and that will bring us perfect health. And we forget about that sometimes because our sick care system doesn't educate us enough. Got Dr. Shabazz calling. Hold and accept. Calling. I have to send her the link again because her computer ate it up. Oh, those bad computers. So I'm going to go into my computer and I'm going to share this with Dr. Shabazz, who called me to let me know that she needs a new link. So here we go. We're going to send Dr. Shabazz a link because we want to get her in here. Constance. Yeah, there she is. Link for show. I hope everyone's doing okay. And let me know. I really want to hear how everyone's doing this week, especially. There are so many things that I have been hearing are about to happen in our world. And so I want to know where you are in your peace level and your ability to overcome the triggers, especially the triggers that we all may be feeling. So how are you doing in those areas? Let me know so we can talk it out. We want to hear from you this morning how you're doing. We got a few people in the studio. Thank you for joining us. And I know you're here because Dr. Shabazz is here. So good to have you all here. We're feeling your energy. And we are excited about what we're going to learn today. But I'm going to ask Dr. Shabazz about our Vice President, Kamala Harris, today. Kamala Harris did a first for any president or vice president. She visited an abortion clinic, and that was a first for the country. We've never, ever had a vice president or president visit Planned Parenthood, okay? So that's one of the topics I'm going to ask Dr. Constance about, because it was unusual. And it seems to be in the mind of the vice president a crisis. Women don't have more access to reproductive rights. That's what they call it. They don't dare say abortion when they do these promotions or visits. So it's going to be interesting to see what develops from all this propaganda, advertisement. You know, it's an election year. For those of you who vote, I haven't voted in quite a while because I think the system is just so broken. And I think we just got to figure out a way to fix the whole system. And that's why I'm excited to have Dr. Shabazz on. So while we're waiting, this device is not connected here. Dr. Constance has shown up, but we've got devices not connected. I don't know what that means, but I do see her name showing up. This device is not connected. I'm not sure what that means. So I'm going to play my 101 body. Biology 101, Human Body 101. I'm going to play that before Dr. Shabazz comes on to remind us of this very sophisticated system we have.
The human body is a complex network of cells, tissues, and organs that together make life possible. 10 major systems are responsible for the body's functions: skeletal, muscular, cardiovascular, nervous, endocrine, lymphatic, respiratory, digestive, urinary, reproductive. The skeletal, muscular, cardiovascular, and nervous systems in particular create an infrastructure that facilitates the other systems. The adult skeletal system is a framework of over 200 bones. They hold the body together, give it shape, and protect its organs and tissues. The skeleton also provides anchor points for the muscular system, which includes three types of muscles: skeletal, smooth, and cardiac. They are found throughout the body and facilitate movement. Nestled within these muscles is the cardiovascular system, a pipeline that includes the heart, blood vessels, and the blood itself. Also called the circulatory system, the cardiovascular system delivers oxygen, white blood cells, hormones, and nutrients throughout the body. Lastly, the nervous system is a communication network of nerve cells that the body uses to transmit information and coordinate bodily functions. It's comprised of the brain, the hub of sensory and intellectual activity, the spinal cord, and the many cranial and spinal nerves that emanate from them. This infrastructure, created by neurons, blood, muscles, and bones, allows three other systems to regulate the body's environment: the endocrine, lymphatic, and urinary systems. The endocrine system is a series of glands that use information carried by the nervous system to help regulate the body's processes. Thanks to this neural connection, endocrine glands, such as the thyroid, are aware of the amount of hormones and other chemicals they need to produce. These chemicals are then distributed throughout the body by way of the cardiovascular system. The cardiovascular and nervous systems are also utilized by the lymphatic system, a collection of lymph nodes and vessels that help regulate the body's defenses. Also called the immune system, the lymphatic system uses neural pathways to transmit information about affected areas of the body and then sends out healing agents like white blood cells via the bloodstream. Another key regulatory system is the urinary system, which includes the kidneys, ureters, bladder, and urethra. The urinary or renal system maintains the body's electrolyte levels and filters waste from the blood. This waste is sent through the blood vessels into the kidneys and then expelled as urine. All of these systems require energy to function, and that's where the respiratory and digestive systems come in. The respiratory system is a group of passageways and organs that extracts life-giving oxygen from the air we breathe. Air enters the body through nasal cavities, travels down the throat, and is then transported to the lungs. The lungs extract oxygen for the body to use and then expel a carbon dioxide byproduct when we exhale. Energy can also come in the form of food. The digestive system is an approximately 30-foot series of organs that convert food into fuel. Food enters the system through the mouth, then moves into the esophagus, the stomach, and the intestines. Nutrients are absorbed into the body while solid waste is expelled through the anal canal, the end of the digestive tract. No matter the role, size, or shape of any of the body's systems, each began with the reproductive system. This system is responsible for creating life. The primary organs involved differ between the sexes, with ovaries, fallopian tubes, the uterus, and vagina found in women, and testes and a sperm channel found in men. Together, fertilization may occur, organ systems form, and then a child is born. Humans are complicated organisms, but when our 10 major organ systems are healthy, they ensure our well-being.
So, studio. Set up her mic so you can hear her beautiful voice. and then we'll take it from there. Dr. Shabazz, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, your mic is open. Welcome. You know, sometimes it just we don't work out the things the way we plan.
Right. Yeah. Well, we'll keep trying, but I apologize. I'm I have a feeling I know what happened. Just don't know how to undo it. But good morning to you all, and my apologies again, and peace be on to everybody, and for those of who are observing the month of Ramadan, of fasting, which is a healthy act. Ramadan Mubarak to you, and thank you for letting me have the opportunity to talk to you and your audience. And I did hear your question asking about our dear sister Kamala Harris and her historical move to show up at a family planning center, you know, which is, you know, let's just get right on into it. That, you know, it's about women, you know what I'm saying, and the fact that we continue to be in this patriarchal system that calls itself a democracy when over half of the voters in this country are women, okay, and we are more likely to show up to the polls, but yet our voices are not heard. So it just lets you know that the fight is on. I mean, it's a wonderful symbolic move that she made. But, you know, how it translates into actual policy changes and action to give women the rights. Because, you know, whatever your ilk is, whatever your faith belief is, they have stepped so far over the line and put women's lives at risk. And we know that Black women still have the highest maternal death rate. And some of that may be due to having to carry a fetus, you know, beyond a time that's safe, you know. And so we have to make sure that we preserve the life of the mother, because a baby needs a mom. You know, last I knew, most mothers keep their children, and we need to keep the life of the sanctity of the life of the mother safe. And, you know, respect, for whatever reason, you know, we know many instances where there's incest or rape, you know, possibility that that child may be born with a genetic defect. So these things should be a protection, and this is not a way of, you know, protecting a woman if you don't give her the right. Because most women who, you know, end up having an abortion, they've had some thoughts about that. You know, they think about it. It's not on the whim. And until we have a society that respects women, protects women, supports women, many of them who are earning the lowest wages, but yet they don't want to, you know, appropriate enough money for universal child care. You know, the same people are jumping up and down and talking about abortion are the ones who are least likely to support those kinds of things, to support a family. You know, so it's just about control. It is not about safety. It is not about protecting women. It is not about protecting particularly poor women, Black and brown. It is not about that at all. You know, it's about a political statement that particularly men are making in hopes that they're going to garner more votes to stay in office. Okay, well, I hope I answered your question.
Wow, you took that into, you know, I was journeying with you at first. I was thinking, okay, what about educating women and what about doulas? And I was thinking, but then you took it right to a point of the truth about political maneuvering, and it's really not about the safety. Because Dr. Shabazz, my question when I heard Kamala, Vice President Kamala speak was, why is this a very serious health crisis when, on the other hand, Black women have aborted millions of babies over the years? Millions. Why aren't we addressing that part of the, I think that's more of a crisis than what she was talking about. Yeah, all of
no,
what
I
she said is
saying, but, yeah, I definitely agree with that. It should not be the first option. Okay, the society should be built on protecting every human being, providing them with the resources that they need. Many women abort not because of some necessarily a physical issue, but a mental issue too, because of the strain that they have in the society. I mean, it's like we know that, you know, say things like IVF, that it takes a man and a woman, but as soon as the sperm drops, suddenly it becomes the burden of the woman. Okay. And so because we have fewer people who are entering into marriage or even, you know, cohabitating, then that safety net, we're not building those safety nets in the family, and society doesn't protect us. We still have the same kind of punitive system with regards to public welfare care. And I'm going to call it, I don't like to use the word welfare. The safety net system that should be available to everyone, because when you have a society that says that we're only going to pay a person a certain amount, because it's always this lie about we're going to lose all these jobs, you know, we're going to have to cut jobs if we raise the minimum wage, which is not a living wage. So therefore you maintain people in poverty, but you put the onus on them to be able to, you know, maintain a family, to be able to support a family. So a lot of the pressure on the women, unfortunately, is the fear of going deeper into poverty, okay? And so I'm not saying that it's not an easy choice. I'm not going to cascade anybody, but I'm telling you the thinking that so many people have, that you're already on the edge. You may have several children. You may not have even if your significant other is in the house, you're working two or three jobs. You don't have universal child care. You don't have the safety net, you know, system. You got so many people who are not poor enough to even get subsistence for food, you know. So you've got all these pressures that you put on people, and yet you're going to go around and say, "Oh, well, we can't raise their wages." Of course, we know that some of these big corporations can well do this. You know, small business people, I can kind of understand, but that's where the system should step in to allow for supplementation of that shortfall that is not the fault of the individual. Okay, people pay their taxes, but if we're spending billions and billions, say we, going over to Ukraine, going over to Israel to kill people, you know, to help other people when we're not taking care, or our money is not being used to take care of here, that's an issue. Now back to your point about, you know, educating women. Yes, we need more education. Okay. But it has to go hand in hand with those other resources that we're talking about to support women, to support them, support the families, you know, and we're not doing that. Piss poor job, you know. I'm sorry. Excuse my French. But that's my opinion about this. I mean, you know, I've been in this game for a long time. I used to run a family planning program, actually in the Chicago area. And we did a lot of education to our young women. You know, we had a lot of young women who would come to us. Maybe they got pregnant as a teenager, but we helped them to, you know, start thinking about, okay, what is your future? Don't look at this as a period to your life. Look at this as a pause, okay, a redirect. And many of them would come back to us and say, you know, thank you so much for your support. You know, I'm in school. I got a good job. I'm doing, you know, this, that, and the third. You know, so those are the kinds of supportive services, you know, and we also had wraparound services, you know, particularly for the young moms, you know, helping them to get back in school, helping them to get the entitlements that they need so they can move on with their life, you know. So Yes, yeah. We need to educate. You know, we need to, and for those who are pregnant or planning to be pregnant, we need to educate them about that. You know, the different vitamins that you need to be taking. You know, the things, how taking care of your mental health, because postpartum depression and even prepartum depression is still a major issue, okay? And we don't have enough mental health services anyway. You know, and particularly not enough for people of color like us, you know, who, whether they want to admit it or not, whether or not they have clear data to support it, racism is a factor. Because when you look at, you know, that now there's a rise in the number of Caucasian women, percentage-wise, the rate of maternal death among them. But still, no, we're still at the top of the heap for those negative things. And so we need to make sure, though, and when we look at things, we said we have to factor in racism, flat out, you know. And that racism is that constant, daily pressure that we have just being who we are, okay? I was at a wonderful food conference yesterday, racism in the food system. We had people there from the USDA. They had this brother who was the head of the Black Farmers who was, you know, filed numerous suits against them, you know, trying to get the Black Farmers their reparations, you know, because we're losing the Black Farmers. You know, how to get into the pipeline to get to healthy food to our communities, you know. And so that's critical. If our women don't have access to good nutrition, good nutrition, not food. Food is, you know, well, food truly should, is defined as something that is going to enhance our needs for a healthy body. That stuff that they put on the shelves, all kinds of packaging, the ultra-processed stuff, that is not food. That's not food. So if women who are pregnant or thinking about getting pregnant are depending upon what the trash, I'm sorry, that they either, there's the only thing they're selling at the corner store or the gas station, or that they can't, because they can't afford, they get the cheapest things in a grocery store that may be stocked with fresh fruits and vegetables, but because they can't afford it, they got to think about how am I going to so-called put something in the mouths of my children, the substitute for food, you know, then it's, you know, that education is just not going to go anywhere. Yeah, I talked to a brother yesterday, day before yesterday at the conference about this, you know. He was saying, yeah, we're competing against the processed food industry, you know. And I said, yeah. I said, but let me say this to you, that not only are we up against them because people, we have a whole couple of generations who look at fresh fruits and vegetables as not tasting good. Well, that's because early on, those cells in our mouth that detect, you know, that our taste buds, as we call them, when you bombard them, just like we found out, you know, basic virology, the COVID, that those cells that we had, those antibodies, had not been exposed. And the same thing happens with our taste buds. When we expose them early on to the good food, then we're more, our body is more attuned to that, okay? But when you've been bombarded year after year after year after year with this ultra-processed stuff, high sugar, high fat, wrong fat, you know, your body says, oh, that's what I want, because that's what your body's used to. And so as I said to this brother, he's a physician, well-known physician in the Chicago area, and I said to him, I said, it's more than you're competing against the ultra-processed food. You don't have anything to combat it with, because if people don't have access to these things, that will, over time, with exposure, okay, and I'm going to say a culture shift too, because, you know, we use food as a modicum. Association, socialization. I mean, how many times you go to somebody's house and say, hey, come over to my house, and they don't have food there, you know. That's just as part of that, you know, breaking bread together, we say. But if you don't, if in your social sphere, everybody is eating the wrong stuff, well, you know, you feel the pressure, or else you just don't eat or bring your own food. How do you look? We want to be in sync with people. But go ahead, sis.
Dr. Shabazz, I've got to take a commercial break. When we come back, I want you to share where we have, what we've missed in terms of our childhood. I want you to share your own childhood, because when you were talking, I was saying, I ate a lot of sugar growing up. I grew up in the 60s, and my diet was heavy, heavy sugar, and now, you know, that sugar is a drug now, I realize. So I think we all went through an education process because of our suffering, mainly, maybe. And food is a drug now. It's like you were just saying, we use food not for nourishment so much, and then we're confused about what food is, because all this food, these chemicals in a box, let's just say that, and beverages with high fructose corn syrup, and the challenge we have to even desire fruit and fresh fruit and vegetable is there with this generation. So when we come back, I want you to just share your own journey with, you know, diet and health, and how you became this doctor. How did you come to want to do what you're doing? Because that's what we want to start educating our youth about, is that your journey was similar to theirs, but we all had this turning point in our life where we said, you know, I'm not going to continue destroying my body and all this crap. And I want to do something about that when we come back, as well as some other serious health. I want to know from your perspective, working in Chicago, what are, in fact, the very serious health crisis you're facing every day in Chicago? I didn't think it was abortion. I was like, what? She's talking about a very serious health crisis in our country because they took away our constitutional right and all that. I'm like, really? That's the crisis these days? Is people need an abortion? So anyway, let's talk about that when we come back and get more into the meat of this issue today. So we'll be right back after these messages.
Why some of the healthiest people still get sick? Or why the occurrence of learning disabilities like ADHD have drastically increased over the last 50 years? Who is it that the cancer rate has gone from 1 in 8,000 to 1 in 6,000? So we are more focused than ever before. Other conditions. I told you that the very things you're using in your home to avoid these problems are actually what's causing them. If you're the decision maker in your home, you know how overwhelming it can be to keep your family safe. Today, and simply provide you with some important information and shed some light on some health concerns you may not be aware of. Over the last 100 years, thousands of toxic chemicals have been introduced into society because of an excessive overstock of chemicals designed for warfare in the Second World War. Today, as the 2013 documentary, The Human Experiment states, quote, 42 billion pounds toxic chemicals enter into commerce every day. That amount would fill up 623,000 tanker trucks. And as we speak, there are over 80,000 chemicals. There are enough people hurt by these products that there are even questions raised. Does this sound familiar? On July 12, 2018, the well-known grocery store brand Johnson & Johnson was ordered to pay for $0.6 billion for 40 years. And we have been trusting using And I'm precious of all gratitude to the family. After all, keeping a clean home is important for good health. But is it possible that cleaning your home is dangerous? 7.3 million American couples trouble feeding or carrying a pregnancy to term. This is a 49% increase since 1988. Recent studies have shown that babies that do make it to term are being born pre-polluted, with up to 28 harmful chemicals in their blood, with indicators that over 400 more were present, all without ever eating food, drinking water, or even breathing air. It just doesn't make any sense.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my three-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
Back. We, for those of you who are just joining us, we are here this morning with Dr. Constance Shabazz. She is the CEO and I believe director of Salaam Community Wellness Center. So we're hearing from her about the most serious health crisis in our country, and I don't believe it's abortion, but Dr. Shabazz, I grew up in Chicago. And I do what I do today in my late 60s because this man that's pictured behind me, my dad, was very, very influential. And so I may be a rarity of experiences in childhood that I had a strong father figure, and my dad was into physical education. He taught at Harlan High School for over almost 50 years, and he was a physical education teacher. He was a football coach, and he was a strong, strong influence. And my mother, on the other hand, was an alcoholic. So I had these two very opposite type parents in my life. But today I'm where I am for the grace of the Creator, for one, and guidance from the Creator. But mainly, I believe my dad influenced me most. So I want to hear from you about what influenced you, because today, like you said, there is no support in the Black community in my mind. You can't get a lot of people to come together and in unity in the Black to do much of anything these days. Sorry, that's my perspective. And so what your experience as a child that influenced you today, or as a young person that influenced you today, because we need to help our youth. I'm focusing on adults too much, but our youth with the generation XYZ, I want to help them develop their mental health skills to become the influencers and educators we need today.
Okay. Well, I'm from Chicago also. I'm born and raised here on the south side of Chicago. My parents migrated here from Missouri, a little small town, was the hometown of my dad, called Keatsville, and my mother migrated from Arkansas, Helena, Arkansas. And my parents actually met in college. And, you know, this was in the 40s, and, you know, Black people going to college, you know, at that time was like, okay, it was probably a very small percentage. They were not from families of means. My mother's father had passed away when she was around 12, and so her mother, my
a late maternal grandmother, God rest her soul, was she was a jewel. She raised six children, you know, without the assistance of, you know, her husband. I only found out recently that the reason that my grandmother came to Chicago was not because my aunt, who was about a year and a half older than my mother, had married someone in the service and was living here, but it was a veiled threat because one of my uncles was seen walking down a street or a road, some white girl who happened to be working at the same little department school after department store rather after school, and that the sheriff presented himself to my grandmother's door saying, you know, I don't want him to get hurt. It didn't happen. People are talking. And how's your daughter doing in Chicago? And I think maybe you should consider moving. So that's what brought them there. But Helena was like most, you know, towns in the South was that people lived off the ground, okay? So it was no McDonald's. It was no White Castles, all these other things. So people knew how to grow. Everybody had a garden. Everybody had their own chickens or whatever they had, pigs or whatever they were eating. And so they ate from the ground. They knew that. I mean, and that, you know, so having that regular meal, family sitting down, talking every day. I mean, I heard, you know, stories about, you know, everybody sat down and they ate, and they ate from the ground, okay?
Yes.
My dad, same thing, okay? So when I was born, and I just say yesterday, I celebrated my 72nd birthday. When I was born, you know, we were in that area, that era, pre-fast food era, okay? When McDonald's came along and White Castles, all those things, those were like, you know, maybe if you went to the movies with friends or whatever once a month, once every 2 months, that was it. It was a treat, okay? It was not a staple. Okay, so the way in which I was brought up, I was already exposed to more of an agrarian type of a plant-based, you know, a diet. You know what I'm saying? Maybe it was a little heavier laden with, you know, fats or whatever, but it was not the kinds of sugars that we see now. Because, you know, the corn syrup, that is a complex combination of sugars that keep us wanting, and our body does not break it down like regular sugars in, like in plants, you know, in our fruits, not the same thing, okay? And so I came up in that environment. I think another thing that, a couple of other things that influenced me was my dad had a heart attack in his 50s. And at that time, that's when we were paying more attention, at least the medical community was paying more attention to the impact of diet. So my mother, in response to that, made a 180, you know, well, maybe a 90 degree, because, I mean, she was already, you know, like I said, plant-based, things like that, and changed the family's diet, okay, because of what she knew had been the causative factor in my father having a heart attack, okay? So we started eating more plant-based things, less fat, you know, less, you know, and at that time the industry was not flooded, like I said, with these sugars, corn fructose, you know, sugar, you know, high fructose sugar, you know. So the third thing I'll say was a friends of mine and I in high school, we got linked up with I don't know if you know Brother Phil Karan. You know, he was a musician, but also he was a herbalist. And so we started learning about that. And by my second year in college, I had become a vegetarian because of the influence of people around me. They weren't eating pork. They were in the plant-based stuff. They were getting away from the meat. So that was my trajectory. And last thing I should say, I became a member of the Nation of Islam. And you know the seminal book, How to Eat to Live, was the Bible. And again, it was more plant-based, you know, really mirrors what we should be eating, is actually the blueprint of how we should be eating now.
Yes, absolutely.
So that's true.
And it's interesting. You had an experience with a father who was not in the best of health, and that influenced you to do better, just as I had an influence of a father who was in really good health, and I was influenced to continue his legacy. So it's like we have people in our lives who teach us, whether they're healthy or not, they teach us how to improve, and they teach us about learning lessons from their life so that we can do better, right?
Oh, absolutely. And that's so important. That modeling is so important, especially when you can actually observe in real time, you know, the impact that it makes. But also, if this is happening, these changes are happening within your family, look at that,
yes,
that social support that you have. That means a lot. So when you go out, and you know, and I've had people say, you know, especially during times where fasting, oh, my God, I couldn't do that. And I'm looking at it, like, I've been doing this for over 50 years. You know, like, don't worry.
Right.
Look, you can put food on my lap and slather it on my body. It's not going to make a difference. You know what I'm saying? It's not all of a sudden, I'm going to, you know, get hungry because of that. Because I have that mindset that's been locked in for a long time. And as I was noticing, I told you I was at this conference, I was just noticing the past couple of days, and just to let you know, we started the fast like sundown last Monday. Okay, not this past, but I recognized that my acuity was improved. I was more in sync as I was. I remember looking at my handwriting was better. I was actually focusing in and capturing more of what the presenters are saying. So look at the value of that. When you have that personal experience, you say, hey, I want more of that. I like the way, I like feeling healthy, and a lot of us don't know what it feels like to feel healthy and well.
Okay.
And that's
there you go.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And here's my opinion on when VP Kamala Harris says we have a very serious health crisis, and it's the health crisis is more women don't have access to abortions, let's just say that instead of reproductive rights. How about more people? Well, the crisis is people are dying from overeating or people are dying from heart disease. That seems to be more serious than women having access to more abortions. You just said it. So what are you seeing, Dr. Shabazz, in your clinic as what are the very serious health crises? Do you have women running in there saying, I need an abortion, I need an abortion? Or do you have people coming
No.
in there with diabetes, all the other sicknesses? That's the problem I have with her presenting that type of narrative, that the problem in our country, the most serious health crisis is women are not able to have access to kill their babies. That just bothers me to no end. So what are you seeing, Dr. Shabazz, in your experience?
Okay, well, let me just respond to that. It's all politics. You know, if
yes.
it was lack of baby formula and as a national crisis, which, you know, then they would have used that. They're not really in tune with or intended to be in tune with anything that really matters to us, you know, it may
yeah.
be by accident every once in a while.
Right.
It is about what's going to get more votes. And you know that. And that's unfortunate
yeah.
because you're right.
Yeah.
People are dying from other things other than that. So back to
right.
what we're seeing at the health center. And again, thank you for allowing us to be on. And for those of you all who don't know, I'm the CEO and one of the co-founders of Salaam Community Wellness Center in Chicago in the Woodlawn area at 613 East 67th Street. And we just celebrating our fourth year in existence. And we came into existence during COVID, but not because of COVID. Okay, let me be clear about this. We recognize that during COVID, we saw the unveiling of what we already knew, that there were so many unaddressed or underaddressed chronic conditions that we needed to make sure that we develop a model to address those, but not using the same bricks from the current non-functional system. So, yes, we see people with chronic diseases, we call them metabolic diseases, diabetes, high blood pressure, cardiovascular disease. By the way, stroke, our stroke numbers are higher than any other group. So we see all of those things. But we also know that one of our competitions is what we call the social determinants of health. And what that is those are those conditions in your environment. You know, where you are born, where you die, your education, the transportation, your jobs, what you do for a living. All of those things have a direct impact on your health outcomes, because if you don't address those things, particularly if they are high priority, I hope I mentioned housing also, that's very critical, then even getting people to pay attention to their health, even if they're feeling horrible, unless it's crisis mode, then they tend to try to just deal with those things, everyday priorities, you know, be it the food, be it the housing. And so one of the things that we have been challenged with is getting people in, and not just a one time, you know, on a regular basis as needed, to take care of their health, to find out, you know, what's going on. But when we're competing against, you know, they got an appointment at the Social Security office or Medicaid office, or the homeless shelter, you know, stops accepting people at 5 o'clock in the afternoon when many homeless people are still working on jobs. You know, when we're competing against that means that we have a crisis in prioritization. We have a crisis in the social determinants, because they are so out of balance with the health care, the physical health and the mental health needs, that it makes it almost impossible for us sometimes to engage people to help them to monitor, use whatever means, you know, best Western as well as non-Western modalities to help to control them. You know, when I logged on this morning, I was able to hear as you were telling, going through the exercise, and I think that's wonderful. But how many people are so challenged with, oh, okay, I don't have time to do that. And how long, sister, how long does that usually take? I'm going to say 3 to 5 minutes. But we are so challenged with this immediacy of the need to survive. And I'm not knocking that. But because we have that challenge, people don't even see that a few minutes could make an impact when we're walking around, not particularly for women, they're walking around not only trying to figure out how they are going to eat, but how the other people in the household are going to survive. And so one of the things we did recently to address that, I hope you allow me to say a few words about back in December, we had the pleasure of a fortunate situation where we had a philanthropic organization that has provided us support in the past. They gave us 150 what they call winter wear sets, and they consisted of a jacket, hat, gloves, scarf, and socks. And then we had another organization that gave us handmade blankets for children ages 0 to 18 years. And sister, we said, you know what, and I must say that we also had an unfortunate situation where we had a fire in our health center back in October, and God has blessed us to get back open. But this was even right before we got back open. And so I remember going next door to the laundromat to say, and you know, a lot of people in the community utilize that. And we didn't put any signs out, nothing on the internet. One of my board members said, but did you put something on the internet? I said, I don't think the people we're trying to go after, I don't think that they, you know, are going to get that message. We had no signage, no flyers, nobody outside saying, hey, come on in here. I went in the laundromat and I told a couple of the attendants in there, and there were a couple of customers. I said, oh, we're giving away coats. Sister, in 3 hours, remember now I said 150 coat sets and there were about 75 to 100 blankets. We gave away all of that.
Wow.
People got
so
on the,
awesome.
People got on the horn and told other people, which is another lesson I'm just going to say. You know, a lot of times you think when people are, you use the old term down and out, that they still have that compassion to help each other. You know what I'm saying? I remember one young lady came in and she said, oh, okay, we got these members of the family, that member. She was on the phone, you know, trying to figure out what size is the kid for the kids and grandma and everybody, you know. And I know they weren't going out there selling this stuff. The need was so great. So what we decided to do was continue it. We continued getting donations, this time of slightly used things, good condition. I wasn't going to give out anything that wasn't good. I did have a little question about some blankets that we had gotten from one of these big laundry services. They were clean, sanitized. They didn't look the best, but you better believe it. People came in. I folded them up nice, and I said, look, these are not glamour blankets or comforters or bedspreads, but they were such need because so many of them had no heat. And a couple, the husband came in. I said, well, how's your housing situation? The man told me we've been living in an unheated garage for 4 months.
Oh,
okay.
ouchie. Ooh, wow.
Okay,
so
see what I'm saying? That's the competition there. You know, getting people engaged. So we have a plan with God's help to launch what I call a peace of mind, health, and wellness pop-up. And this is really an idea that we came up with last year. Didn't have the funding. And let's be honest, everything is a God's time. So what God? So now we are going to launch in June, and we are beginning partnerships with some of the other agencies that have space in the community and serving our community members. And we're going to go in, do physical and mental health screenings. We're going to have case managers, social workers there. We're going to do actually some deep breathing meditation sessions. We're going to have massage therapy. We're going to have representatives from different social service agencies that are dealing with things like housing and food insecurity and dealing with things like, you know, workforce readiness, and have those resources there. And then in addition to healthy food, and we're going to, and by that time, I'm hopeful that our first harvest in our Paradise Garden, which is an organic farm that is located right on, I call our campus, and we have two city lots that have been enclosed. We have raised beds. We're going to be putting hydroponics in there. In addition to, you know, in the ground, when I say in the ground, in the raised beds, I think we're going to be growing about 15 different varieties of produce and herbs. And so we're going to be providing that. And then we receive a grant as well as in-kind donation from an organization, and they are actually going to give us these items that are going to go into what we call essential bags. And so these bags will contain some perishable, non-perishable foods, as well as things like personal care items or household items that people can't afford, you know? So they're going to walk out of there with something that hopefully will lift some of that burden. But in the process, we're going to be getting information, trying to get people in for, you know, physical exams and other things, you know, so we can close the gap, sis. You know what I'm saying? And you got to do that.
Yeah.
So those are the issues. That's a long way of sharing with you and your listeners. What is it we're seeing? It's not just the chronic diseases, because I'll just say this, that many of the chronic diseases are because of these other things. Okay, because if you don't have access to good food, or you're in an unsafe environment, so you can't get out, and we are, and walk and do, you know, things that are free. okay? And we live in a very toxic environment surrounded by train trestles, expressways, you know, all kinds of pollutants, you know, many of the vacant lots there, we know have toxic waste in there. It's not been mitigated because they make it so cost prohibitive for somebody to come in, do the soil testing, and bring it back to a healthy state. So those are the things we're dealing with.
So let me ask you this. Is the migrant situation in Chicago affecting you in any way?
We happen to be one of the communities where they place migrants in one of the Chicago Public School buildings that had been, how would you say, no longer used. I don't like to use the word abandoned because they had to keep it up in some way, shape, form, or fashion. So they retrofitted it, and it was a big brouhaha in the community. And let me just say, it was rightfully a brouhaha because not that the members of the community who were still predominantly African-American were against people who are fleeing from terrorism and deeper poverty, but to ignore the existing poverty, substance abuse issues, homelessness, or insecure housing in the community and provide services to newcomers. So
right.
We had, I'm going to say, I'm guessing we probably had a couple of thousand individuals over time. There were more families that came in. So they were housed at, some people still housed at this former elementary school. And then I know during the summer months, they were camped out right in front of the 3rd District Police Station, which is literally 5 blocks away from us, until the weather became too inclement. And so they were relocated. But I am seeing just visually going into the stores, going into just seeing the people, the pedestrian traffic, that we still have a lot of people who are still in the community who I can clearly say, I tell you, it's like I see one or two people, usually they have backpacks, you know what I'm saying? Looking like to some of them, they'll visibly look like me. Two brothers came in, and one, very dark skin, and I asked him, where are you all from? He said, Columbia. Okay, so you can't tell about the skin. You know what I'm saying? So, yes, they're there. Some have gotten jobs in the community because even our neighbor, the restaurant, has hired, I think, a husband and wife, and they've been with them over a year and a half or so, and because they came here to work, you know what I'm saying? So, but
right.
The problem that we also see is that as far as the health care is concerned, it's an additional burden for us that we're going to try to mitigate because we don't have any bilingual staff, you know. And plus some of the other needs that we're talking about, the social service needs, are a little different. You know what I'm saying? So that has been a challenge, you know, in the community. As far as anything that I'm aware of, uptick in crime or anything like that, we used to participate in some of the calls with the 3rd District Police. I haven't heard anything voiced about, okay, all right, since we've had these asylum seekers here, we've seen some major uptick in any level of crime. So, yes, you know, that is what we've seen. You know, in fact, when we did the giveaway, there were several families who actually came in, and everybody was whipping out their phone, you know, using Google Translate. And so I'll be honest about it, some of the translation was so wacky, but we made our way through. We treated them, you know, like anybody else in the community because we came as asylum seekers, you know, for the most part. In that community, that was one of the communities where many African-Americans fled from the South. In fact, it's the community that Emmett Till lived in before he was murdered. Just 3 blocks away from us, that's where his home is.
So give the address again of your center, because we have quite a few Chicago residents who listen to this show, and we want to invite all of them to join you. It's tonight, right, for the fundraiser?
Yes, yes, yes. Glad you reminded me. I got to get up and run and work on getting everything together. So we're having a community, we call community iftar, which is, you know, for Muslims, that when we break fast every day at sundown, we for the first, usually the first part of the month of Ramadan, which is 30 days, we have communal dinners, and we bring people in. We invite, you know, it's open to everyone. So our location is 613 East 67th Street. We're between the streets of St. Lawrence and Champlain Avenue on 67th Street, and free parking on the street, as well as we have parking on the west side and on the back of our facility. And the idea of this fundraiser is to help us to raise funds to support the services that I just mentioned. One, our primary care, our integrated primary care. And we pride ourselves in being culturally responsive and listening to people, spending time, whatever the necessary time is, and helping them to be able to access some of those services that we're talking about, the housing, food access. In addition, our pop-up that we talked about, you know, which we will be launching in June, but we have a lot of work to do to get that up and running, and so we need support for that. And then last but not least is our Paradise Garden. We're going to be starting a planting next month, and part of the funds will be going towards supplies, equipment. Everything that we're using is organic, no GMO seeds. You know, they're all our garden director, brother is stellar in his background in doing this. So he's also going to be helping to build some hydroponics. And we're looking in the future of the possibility of having containers. They have these containers now that are actually already fitted with the hydroponic piping in there, and they can grow 24/7. You hear me? So we're looking for the future, but not only to provide sustenance to the community at an affordable price, but also teaching people how to grow their own food and how to store it, because, you know, a lot of people don't have, like, a functional kitchen. And so some of our classes, our cooking classes, are going to be, how would you say, converting how we would normally prepare foods, you know, the conventional oven, stove, but using things like crock pots or pressure, you know, cookers, or, you know, the plug-in pressure cookers, or toaster oven. I mean, these are things that people have because they may not have a functional kitchen. They may not have a operating stove. They may not have a refrigerator. So we need to cut down on wastage, and, you know, and I say nothing's waste. It's just how we deal with it. You know, we're eating waste, but it's not waste. You know what I'm saying? We're eating the earth. We're recycling the earth. Okay. In our food, yeah. If we're eating the right food. So this evening, our doors open at 6 p.m. It's free. And, you know, we're going to give you tours of our facility. Hopefully it's not going to be too dark so we can show you the organic garden. And, we're going to fellowship together and talk about how each and every one of us can play a role in uplifting our community. You know, there are many ways that people can help. Don't think that any financial donation is too small. I mean, if you aggregate, last I knew, $1 million had $1 million, you know. And if a million people gave $1, it's still $1 million. It's not broken down based on denominations. It's the cumulative. And we have to invest in our community. And so we're going to have a wonderful presentation
this about the health center, but also our gardening program. And it's at 6 o'clock. The meal will start around a little after 7. We have a prayer, a short prayer service. It's not obligatory. It's just for those of us who want to, and people are able to join in any way they can, because, you know, being in solidarity, like mine, you know, I heard a term this past couple of days, a term, gracism. I love it. You know, we talk about racism, but what about gracism? Having the feel, you know, the feeling of being grateful. And so that's what we're going to do. And we want you to find out more about it, because this is our everybody's place. This is not just for the Whitmont community. This is started for particularly the South Side, because the South Side is a desert for so many reasons. And we're an oasis.
Yeah.
And so we're there for everybody.
Yes, and Chicago's a big city. They need an oasis in all over the city. Oasis is all over the city. That's the problem, challenge, I think, because it's needed everywhere. But we've got quite a few callers, and I know you said you could stay with us, till 1:45?
Yes,
the
hour. Gotta get out and get ready for this evening, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let me go to the phone, because we've got at least three callers that's and get some questions, but I want everybody to just keep that address in mind, 613 East 67th Street near St. Lawrence, and stop by today and make a donation or just see the facility. This is just a beautiful oasis experience that
Admiral Nelson Bay.
And we've got Admiral Nelson Bay, who's been patiently waiting. We've got a couple other calls we're going to get to you next. Go ahead, Admiral Bay.
The reality of man is his thought, not his material body. Abdu'l-Bahá. You know, I'm of the Baha'i persuasion, and I've been of the Baha'i persuasion for many decades. I want to apologize for my tone when we first met over the phone several weeks ago, Sister Constance Shabazz. You're doing a magnificent work. I commend you for what you're doing. I shall be there, inshallah, this evening and show you a litany of text messages I sent earlier this morning to Sister Naima Latif, which deals with the importance of composting and so many other things. But you'll see what I actually wrote, which will give you a sense as to where my mind is at.
Okay, well, now I tell people, if you see somebody running around and all you see is from the neck down, that's me, because I'm going to be losing my head somewhere, you know, putting on this program. But certainly introduce yourself, and I look forward to seeing you later on today. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Bless you. Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Admiral Nelson. We're going to go to 706. 202, that's our brother Kwame Sunhorse. He's in the, where are you? You're in Georgia, right?
Right. And greetings to Dr. Shabazz. Excellent energy in which
greetings,
you
sir.
Are nurturing the community. And as she said, the oasis. And the oasis is that Chicago in itself is, and communities have food deserts. Then, and they have deserts because it's by design. And what you've done is that you've brought our ancestor spirit, and it's in service to the community. And so what we're getting ready to have on April 8th is that eclipse across America. Illinois is a very pivotal point in that, because that's where it's going to crisscross, in Illinois, in Carbondale, Little Egypt. And we have the names of our ancestors there in that state. Is you have Cairo, you have Karnak, you have Thebes. And it's not by design that it's there by the Nile in the west. And what happens is the 613 is 10. 613 is 10. And what you're being is that this is the one place that you have been given and being the steward of, to be able to help the people in what we're needing to do to lead them out of this epistemic side. Epistemic side is the taking of the knowledge and the community away from the people, but it cannot be, because divine knowledge is higher than man and his quest to do this, because epistemicide, and this is what we're doing, is a killing and silence and the annihilation and the devaluing of the knowledge system. We are our brother's keepers, and this is what you're showing. And what they're attempting to do is to kill, to silence, to annihilate, and devalue our knowledge system. But the Creator has put in your heart, and Sister Beata, Admiral, you know, all of us that have chosen to do this, because it's to break the generational curse is what we're doing. This is what Beata was saying about what she's broken the generational curse, because her father's spirit, her mother's blood was tainted with the spirit of alcohol. And she now says the spirit of healthy and guidance, as her father was a coach, those two spirits made her. So I commend you and thank you for what you be, because I sit here in the stolen land of Muscogee Creeks in Eatonton, Georgia. And we now are looking at forming bodies of elders, because we have to, as elders, we're getting ready to become ancestors. And so in this time that we have left, is to pass down for the next seven generations, because seven generations behind us is how we got here. Seven generations behind us, those grandmothers, great-grandmothers, great-great-grandmothers, we have to understand that we are the ones we've been waiting for. And thank you, Dr. Shabazz.
Thank you, brother.
All right, and we've got a question from our Monday morning host. Zelda is asking whether the location to drop off clothing always available. We sometimes get too many donations to disperse, and she has a homeless ministry or project that she works. So can they drop off clothing at 67th Street?
Well, at this time, we have slowed down our distribution, and what we want to do is finish distributing what we have, which is still basically like clothing for the winter, okay? And we will be looking at what our setup is going to be for our launch in June for the pop-up. You know, at that time, obviously, you know, we pray to God that it's going to be a lot warmer. So then what we'll do is we will then target our clothing that we're going to be accepting to that particular season, okay? So appreciate it. You know, you know, let's double back, keep in contact with us, you know, and if you do have items that are more suitable for spring or summer, you know, hold on to them. We don't have a lot of storage. That's why we're trying to get rid of everything we have right now. But we certainly will keep that process going on, because we know that people are going to need this, especially as the children, you know. So, but thank you so much. You know, let's make sure that, you know, Sister Viagra, that you know, we are connected, and, you know, so as we can facilitate the receipt of the clothing at the time when we will need it for our distribution. Thank you again. Thank you for thinking of us.
Okay.
Thank you for thinking of the community.
Absolutely. And I'm a Chicago native, so I'm always thinking of the communities, and don't hear much good news from the media. So I'm glad to connect with you and all my sisters who live there to know that there's a lot of good being done there. And we've got one more caller here. Let me get to 314-677. Mic is open. Thank you for calling.
You know, I was hearing a conversation on the diet. Can you hear me okay,
Yeah.
Viata?
Yeah, this is Bianchi, right?
Yeah. Well, I have always ate meat, whether it was camel, whether it was hippopotamus, whether it was cows, pigs. In temples there in Egypt, you can see the OPEC festival, and where people are bringing food, and they have food, and they're eating. And all the varieties they are consuming. including the hog. You can go in the temples, and they have pictures of fish that you can identify today from the catfish and the tilapia. There's no grass or arid soil to grow vegetables, but they raise cattle and eat and drink the milk of cattle.
Okay, so
and
when
this
you
last
say those
gentleman
people
just,
always, when you say those people have always eaten meat, who are you referring to?
The same people that this gentleman just got off by Balaw, I think his name is. He said our ancestors. Then he mentioned some cities, Cairo, and some other Egypt cities.
Right,
and he said
our.
So he's talking about Black Americans. So to say that we shouldn't be eating meat is kind of felonious, because they have ate meat even back during the time of the ancestor days, which is really susceptible to. So aren't we just talking about the environment that you live in presently?
Yeah,
that
of course.
Is a very complicated question.
Yeah, of course, because Native Americans thrived on the buffalo, and they ate every part of, they used every part of that animal to survive until the white man came along and burned them up and ruined the whole process. But, yeah. And
well,
wait a minute.
Hang on there for a second. Yeah, I hear what you say. When those Native, quote you call Native America, was fighting each other ferociously before they met anybody else.
Well, yeah.
And we, you know, when I hear, well, let me say this, and I'm going to go. But that these messages are very confusing, the way they're told, because human beings are human beings. They fight each other, and they be nice to each other. And it has been going on since the advent of the human being. So to say the white man done this, well, Native America was doing that before they even met them. And
you
can
I'm
see that. But no.
Sir, brother, I spent nine years.
Hang on for a second. Let me finish. I spent nine years going in and out of temples and tombs in Egypt, all the way down to the northern Sudan border. And this evidence.
Can I interject, sir? Thank you. I like to be educated, but also I understand you have a question. Because I'm going to have to get off, and so if there's a question for me, out of respect to our hostess, you know, and the show, I just want to hear what your question is.
Okay, so do you have a question for Dr. Shabazz?
I asked it a question until you mute. Why do you mute people when you don't like what they're saying? That's very disrespectful. I asked a question about what people have ate. So how do we correlate to say that people shouldn't be eating these things today?
Well, first of all, I didn't say that, sir. Okay. So I don't think that's a question. So, but I was just going to say, you know, in general, what we ate and how the chemical composition of what we ate many, many years ago is very different from what we eat right now. Okay. And that's basically we're looking at what's happening right now. At least I am. That's the information. That's what I have to work with in terms of resources. So I'm not going to go out and say go eat bison, and even though bison was you know consumed many years ago, and it's safe. You know it was safer to eat it because of the nutrients that were in it. And now those nutrients are no longer there, or have been tainted, or added to it. I'm dealing with it right now. Okay, so I really appreciate you know your observations, but that's my response to your question. And you know, have a great day.
And you know sometimes we do get a little off topic, Dr. Shabazz. So please forgive us for not staying on topic because I know you have to go. And I've got your website up. I want to just know, is there any particular area that you want us to show on the website? I love the mind, body, and soil. That is so cool. But is there anything on the website that you want us to highlight before you go?
Yes, you know, for you who are in Chicago or have family members in Chicago, you know, please, you know, share the word about Shalom Community Wellness Center. You know, you talked about needing more oases. Our intent, when we started Shalom Community Wellness Center, is to make this a model that can be replicated in any community. But the only way we could do that is to, first of all, make sure that the model that we are working with right now that is fine-tuned and ready to ship out, as they say. So we ask that you support us with your, you know, financial donations. Please consider becoming a sustaining donor, any amount, any amount. They have donations as little as a dollar, but I treated it in my mind as if we got $1,000 because it was more than what we had before. If you have other resources, we're also looking for volunteers, people who have backgrounds in areas that we can't afford to hire, so legal and accounting and other areas. If you're into fundraising, or if you know people who can provide those kinds of services, all of those things are welcome. We're also looking for holistic practitioners. Right now, our core team is a sister who has a PhD in integrated medicine, and our MD, who also is certified in massage therapy. But we have acupuncturists. We have individuals who do music therapy, Reiki, yoga. And so we really want to make sure that we have a full complement of services. Also, we provide mental health services. We're looking for mental health practitioners who are willing to and have experience doing, you know, an integrative model where we're not pushing medications, we're pushing social services combined with the other holistic modalities. So if you want to get in contact with us, let me give you our website. It's Salaam, S-A-L-A-A-M-C-W-C for Community Wellness Center, .org. SalaamCWC.org. Our phone number is area code 773-435-9493. Our address is 613 East 67th Street. Our zip is 60637. And, you know, our portal is on our website. You'd like to set up an appointment. Right now, we are just taking appointments for adults. We're in the process of trying to find family practice practitioners, a pediatrician. For those of you who've been following the news, there is a shortage of primary care practitioners, but, you know, we do have a relationship with other trusted practitioners who can accommodate, you know, for some of the services that are needed. Sometimes people need dental, they need pediatric care. So we're building a ship that, you know, has other little boats alongside us that, you know, if we need to refer people to these trusted partners. And one last thing, we do have, with this Entrepreneurs Academy, it is a partnership we have, and they are actually helping us to address the need for living wage jobs and business opportunities. The day we reopened after we had a fire, they started a drone photography program that is being housed at the health center. They have a two-hour class that meets there every Monday from 11 to 1, and they rotate every 6 weeks. So we're going to be transitioning to the next class, which is a drone photography part two. And this is as you know, the drone technology has taken off tremendously. The Cook County Tax Assessor's Office is going to be using drones to be able to do assessments on commercial properties. And I was told that they have some over 50,000 commercial properties. And drone operators can make anywhere in the neighborhood of $200 an hour. Now, what kind of jobs are we getting to make that amount of money? So this class will help the participants get the skills to be able to take the FAA 109, which is a remote drone operators, flight operators certification, and hopefully get some of these jobs. And plus, the drones are used for many other purposes, commercially and otherwise. So we are partnering with organizations that are lifting our community up, not just keeping it at the same level. You know, so please pass the word about us. You know, we are continually adding programs. The same organization is going to be doing the gardening classes. Again, we hope to turn those into opportunities for businesses. I heard the other day that tea is the most commonly drunk beverage in the entire world. We could be growing things to make our own tea. So let's work together, okay, for our own health and healing. Okay.
Yeah.
And sister, I want to thank you again for reaching out to me and allowing us this platform. You're doing wonderful work, you know, and we need to make sure that more people know about your program and to have more and more, you know, platforms like yours that are sharing information, you know, with our people, because we fall down, what is it, the term about, you know, we fail for the lack of knowledge. So thank you so much again for inviting me.
And thank you, my sister. I invited you, of course, because I got an email announcing that. So thank you for, I'm glad I'm on your email list, because even though I'm in Florida, I want to know Chicago. And Naima Latif, our executive producer, you know, she started a garden during the pandemic gardening, mm-hmm. I think. So I'm excited, though, about the drones. I have a friend whose son lives in Costa Rica. He makes at least $200 an hour using his drone equipment to film commercial property. So you are so right on about training young people and people in general to develop their entrepreneurial skills with something like drones. That is the thing of the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
Technology of...
Exactly. But let me just say this. You hit on something. I just want to make a point. We suffer in our community from legal discrimination. We have so many of our brothers and sisters who have been involved with the criminal justice system, whether they were guilty or innocent, but it's on their record, and that allows so-called employers to bar them from good jobs or getting into certain trades. When you are a business owner, even if you run a security firm, you know, you could hire other people who can make the security clearance, but you can be the beneficiary of the work that they do on your behalf. So we must go back to our entrepreneurial roots to help us to get the income, the revenue, the employment in our communities to lift that up. That's what other communities do. People come here from all over the world, and they say the first thing they look for, hey, let me buy a franchise. You know what I'm saying? Let me get all my family members working there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we need to like
and
that.
These days, you need a phone and TikTok, and you can make money. That's why we have a battle in our government about TikTok, because people are using TikTok to form their own business. So it's easier than ever to be an entrepreneur. You just have to have the people connect to the people to teach, help you, and guide you. Yeah, we don't need to be working for corporations anymore because it's too easy.
Because corporate doesn't work for us.
Yeah.
It does not work
for
us, you know.
I'm going to send you, my sister, some lavender oil because all the work you're doing, I want you stress-free. And I'm about to place an order. Melaleuca is the company that I order from for my oils. So I'm going to order one for you. And send. Is this the right address?
Oh, you're so
or
kind.
Do you want to text me where
well,
I
you
can
know
send
what? Yes. Let me do that, you know, because our postal system is not very reliable. So I would hate to find out that by the time I got the oil, it was no longer in there. You understand what I mean.
Exactly.
All right, sister. Thank you, and thank you to your audience. You know, everyone, you know, may God's peace be with you. Whatever your beliefs are, be at peace, okay? And thank you so much. Got to run.
All right. Thank us, and we love you, my sister. And for all of you who are still here, I'm going to put a video from Dr. Shabazz's website that I think is just very informative. And promotes her, what she's doing.
The Savam Community Wellness Center was launched in 2020 in response to the impact that the COVID-19 pandemic has had on the Black and Brown community on Chicago's South Side. In the 16 months since we were established, we have acquired and renovated a 3,300 square foot facility in the Woodlawn community. We have four exam rooms which were outfitted with the generous donations from individual donors. Our next step is to launch our unique, innovative, integrative program to address the needs of culturally competent primary care, addictive treatment, mental and nutrition services. We will be using mind-body exercises such as deep breathing, meditation, yoga, and Tai Chi. Nutrition, education, and counseling will be provided, incorporating the food as medicine model to address chronic illnesses such as diabetes, hypertension, and obesity. The program will address poor access to healthy foods through the installation of the community garden. This space will also serve as a holistic healing space where patients and community members will have the opportunity to learn about participating.
So, oh wow, I'm so excited for Chicago to have someone like Dr. Shabazz in the neighborhood to promote what she does. It's a beautiful, beautiful example of what every community all over the country, if not the world, should be doing right now, getting away from governmental influence, especially now in this political election season where the vice president of the United States thinks the most important crisis is that women can't kill more babies. I'm just putting that out. I was so irritated by her speech and all that political gooblygosh. What? And here's the comment from Naima Latif, our executive producer. She says, there is no one-size-fits-all when it comes to food. Yes, yes, yes. Our bodies adapt to the food available in their environment. And the problem is we got too much. That's the problem. And then we teach Bible economy. We love, thank us. Because that's why in the beginning of my show, our audio says, we want to talk to you, but we want you to talk to us. Sometimes we have callers come on here and they just take us off the subject. That's because there's a lot of narcissism out there. It's all about me. It's all about me. Well, no, it's all about Dr. Shabazz today and her center. And then we got people who want to talk about other topics, but I digress. Deep breath. Inhale. Yes. So thank us, all you beautiful, conscious people that share information. And the one size fits all that Naima brings out is really important because, number one, we're eating too much damn food. It's just people are using food as a drug. People are married to their appetites. They can't stop eating foods that are harming them, and they don't want to change. So guess what? We're going to learn from all the suffering out there more than anything. People don't want to prevent disease and sickness. They want to continue on the same habits that their mommy and daddy and grandparents and all of them taught them. So, yeah, one size doesn't fit all. And it's up to each of us to recognize when our body's talking to us. That was my first book, My Body's Talking to Me. And I started listening and making changes. Got to make changes, because that's how you get well. That's how you take charge. Otherwise, the government's knocking at your door. The funeral director's knocking at your door. All these unhealthy connections will show up because we're not making the changes. One size fits all. I talked about a couple of weeks ago a carnivore diet. People are getting healed miraculously or not on carnivore diets. But you have to like the taste of meat to do that, right? Of dead animals. I don't like the taste of dead animals, I realize. I tried to add a little cow and lamb and all that to my diet, but I don't like the taste. So you're not going to be successful on any diet or food plan if you don't like the taste of the food. So you got to either season it really well, tenderize it, or just help the food agree with your own palate. And then when you're on a carnivore diet, this is a lesson I've learned about carnivore diets. Eliminate most carbs. You can't be eating all that, more carnivores, more dead animals, and eating more fructose corn syrup, and eating bread, and eating potatoes, and eating all the things that we used to add, meat and potatoes and all that too. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. Because the people who are talking about the success of a carnivore diet, they eliminate most of the carbs, and they're eating fat, butter, avocados, not seed oils. Seed oils are very, very unhealthy for the body. Sunflower, safflower, canola. No, no, no. Get those seed oils out of your diet. The only oils really that are safe are pretty much coconut oil. That's about the safest one. Then you may find some fairly safe olive oil, but even that's processed to a degree. My experience is carnivore diets are really helpful as a therapy for people who are either overweight or underweight. You have to adjust the diet if you're underweight to have more fat in that diet along with the carnivore or the animals, butter, avocado oil, any fatty foods, and liver, they say organ meats are really great to add to your carnivore diet, but it doesn't fit all. Didn't fit me. I tried it. And I don't need to lose or gain weight. I feel my weight is perfect where it is. I don't gain, no matter what I eat, I don't gain or lose. I just stay where I am. So I'm thinking, thank you, Creator. I'm at a perfect weight. I have lots of energy. I had to babysit for my grandson for 2 days because they're on spring break. I had more energy. I had just as much energy. I rode around the neighborhood for like half an hour with him, following him. And I'm following him all day and doing everything he's. I am grateful, 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 grateful. Nothing but gratitude coming from this goddess that I have the energy. And when I do have pain, I stop eating. That's how you stop your pain, inflammation. You stop eating. So let's not think that food is the solution for anything. No, 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 no. Fasting is the solution for every ailment you might have. Try it, my brothers and sisters, and you will see the difference. So thank us for being here today and creating what is now an archived teaching show about a woman in Chicago who is making a big difference. I love that woman. I'm praying for her and sending her lots of love energy. I'm going to send her a lavender oil. Her and this woman I worked with as a doula, I just rented my purse and gave her my lavender oil when she told me all the stuff she was doing. I'm like, oh, my honey, you need to have this lavender oil. Stay out of stress. So give lavender oil to people you know who are doing a lot of good work so they stay, help them stay stress-free. All right, it is the top of the hour. I missed a lot of commercials, but I hope you'll share this with your friends and family about how to create an oasis. And even as our brother Kwame has told, we're creating an overground railroad, because our sick care system ain't working, and we need to be the ones buying drones, working on TikTok, doing our thing now and teaching these young people how to do these things. No more corporate work if we don't have to. This is a new day. I'm excited. Everything is going well for us if you believe it. You have to believe that all things are working for our good and everything is in divine order. That's how I see life. Hallelujah. Thank you all for being here. We're going to say thank you now to our whole family.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, xiexie. India, zanyaba. Japan, arigato. Korea, kamsahamnida. Russia, spasiba. Germany, danke. Poland, dziękuję. France, merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, geret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, tashakur. Saudi Arabia, shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God. And God's blessing.
And Shalom. Oh, aloha, aloha. All my beautiful sisters and brothers in Lahaina, Maui, stand strong, stand strong. You got this, you got this. Stand strong. We send love, healing energy to all of you. So everybody have a great weekend, and we'll see you tomorrow at noon on the Female Solutions.